I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of time to become a part of time.
Everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. I think we've got an interesting show in store for you this evening. It will be jam-packed with information, as usual. And we'll be talking about three of the most important things that can be happening to you on this planet, being involved with self-realization, creating excellent health or maintaining it, working on reality creation. We've got some amazing new scientific information to pass on this evening, so you might want to have a pad and paper pencil handy to jot down some interesting information coming on tonight's ET Yoga. But before we get into all those topics, I would like to start in the usual manner, where we do a little bit of Japa Yoga, as led by Sri Swami Satchidananda, and that is the Hari Om mantra. So if the guys in the booth would play it, that short clip now, that'd be much appreciated.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari, Hari, Hari.
Hari, 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 H Hari 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 Om.
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 Hari 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 Om. Hari Om, Hari 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 Om,
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Om,
Hari Om, Hari Hari Om,
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Om,
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om,
Hari Om, Hari Om,
Hari Om, Hari 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 Om,
Hari Om, Hari Om,
Hari 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 Om,
Hari Om,
Om Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari Om
Hari 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 Om
Hari Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om Hari
Hari Hari Om
Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari
Hari Hari Hari Om
Hari 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 Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari 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 Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Hari Hari
Om Hari 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 Om Hari 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 Om
Hari 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 Om
Hari 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 Om
Hari 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 Om
Hari Om Hari Om Om Hari Om Hari Om
Om
Hari 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 Om
Om
Hari Om Hari Om
Om
Hari 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 Om
Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari Hari
Om
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Hari Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Hari Om.
Hari Hari.
Yeah, it's a little bit of Japa Yoga led by Sri Swami Satchidananda, and he was the founder of the Integral Yoga Institutes, and that was a clip from back in the 1970s. I'd like to, at this time, take the opportunity to thank the ET Yoga listening audience, and especially to those members who do take the time to email me with respect to program content, or also sharing some of your successes that you've had with ideas, concepts, techniques that you've learned on ET Yoga. Nothing makes my day more than to hear about your successes. And I also will answer questions about topics that are covered on the program. So if you're interested in contacting me, you can contact me at paperfungo, P-A-P-E-R-F-U-N-G-O, paperfungo, at yahoo.ca. And I also have my website up at etyoga.com. And my latest books there, ET Yoga 2012 and Beyond, The True Nature of Reality. If you like ET Yoga, I'm pretty sure you'll like the book because it's really condensed information. It's about 300 pages long, but it's jam-packed with information. You don't have to, you know, go through 20 pages to find a point. There'll be lots of points made on every page. And I do appreciate your support. I'd like to, at this time, give my usual disclaimer that this program was created in order to share the information about the positive and most effective benefits and insights of ET Yoga. It is therefore for educational purposes, and although thought to be accurate, is provided as is and without warranty of any kind, either expressed or unexpressed or implied. Please note that ET Yoga is not a substitute for medical care. Information is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. You should always consult with the appropriate health practitioner in case of any medical condition. And if you're new to ET Yoga, I should also mention that I kind of consider ET Yoga kind of like a new branch of yoga. In simplified terms, the yoga of belief. And much of our modern research by scientists are now showing that our world functions much like a virtual reality holographic computer. And the energy is consciousness, and the language of interpretation of that energy is belief. In other words, what you believe is. And thus, by studying actually integral yoga from Sri Swami Satchidananda with the six branches of yoga and also other yoga masters such as Paramahansa Yogananda and Sri Ramana Maharshi, I find that this whole idea of belief was never really a focus in any of those teachings, and much of the information that's coming that's really good information and from valid sources, from extraterrestrial sources as well, that's being channeled to the planet right now has to do with belief and in the concept that thought creates. And I really think this is a really an added bonus to the yogic teachings, and I don't find them incompatible in any way. In fact, that's why there's the marriage of the concept ET and yoga, and that's how that came about. Now, when I was thinking about doing tonight's program, I was thinking about really important things that we would like to accomplish or be involved with during a particular lifetime. And one of those things would be to realize that there are higher levels of consciousness and that you have the ability to attain them. And to me, this is the starting point, or the kind of, it's the true baptism in a sense, because it's the real start of a spiritual journey. It's called the planting of the seed. And when you have that glimpse of the higher level consciousness, and you know that you have the ability to attain those levels, if this was a baseball game, that'd be called going to first base. I had a conversation with a friend actually this week who thought that that concept meant that a person was self-realized. No, knowing about the concept does not make you self-realized. Knowing is part of the rational thinking process, and self-realization, or to be one with the higher self, you could call it the Oversoul, you could call it universal consciousness, whatever label you want to use. And actually, there is no logical way to explain it to the rational mind. It's a state of being that must be experienced. It's not about what you do, or there's no prerequisites to what you would call, some people call that enlightenment or self-realization. There's no particular path, although everybody, in a sense, has a unique path. And so this is something that can only be experienced. And if you're doing things like Tarot or I Ching or dowsing, and you're asking questions from some other entities, then no doubt you're not self-realized, because you wouldn't be asking them those questions. You would just ask the question and get the answer. You would be a higher level than those sources of information. And the other aspect of that is that the higher self fragments off pieces of itself, and those pieces are what we call incarnations. Actually, we are spiritual beings, because we are our higher selves, but we are kind of functioning in with the artificial construct, which is our personalities. And as Bashar would say, there's only two objective facts. One is that the universe was created with unconditional love, and the second, that you have awareness. So the idea here being that the personality construct, and I kind of like what Bashar gives his analogy there, too. It's kind of like a deep-sea diver wanting to go down to explore the depths of the ocean, and he puts on the paraphernalia, the glasses and the suit, and then he's able to go down and experience these more dense levels of reality. And in a sense, that's what our personalities are. They're artificial constructs. And as Muji would say, you go from person to presence. And it's not really the best idea to be totally identified with your so-called, you know, social identity. Better to be in a state of awareness and presence, and that presence and that peace can then expand into infinity. And that would be a comment from Sri Swami Satchidananda. And it looks like many of us need to do a better job in communicating to our friends and about the whole concept about reincarnation, because I guess according to a recent survey, only 7% of the people that live in the G20 countries actually feel that reincarnation is part of their existence. And I find that rather shocking, only 7%. And I might add that even early Christianity taught the concept of reincarnation. As Yogananda has said, that the concept of reincarnation used to be part of the early Christian belief, but was removed. And from his book, Autobiography of a Yogi, and I quote, "The early Christian church accepted the doctrine of reincarnation, which was expounded by the Gnostics and by numerous church fathers, including Clement of Alexandria, the celebrated Origen, both 3rd century, and St. Jerome, 5th century. The doctrine was first declared a heresy in A.D. 553 by the Second Council of Constantinople." And I might add that a couple other major teachings have been eliminated as well, and that is the concept of vegetarianism and equality of the feminine energy. However, the main point here being related to the concept of having incarnations. Reincarnation is just a major part of life. that makes things make sense. We're here to evolve, and as the system works, if you do become self-realized, which apparently is only possible in a human incarnation, at least that's according to Ram Dass, if it's possible in the human incarnation, we keep coming back until we do achieve a self-realized state. Then at that point, we have a choice whether we want to come back or not, as opposed to it being more of a requirement. And I think that many people really are kind of in a fog, thinking that if only 7% of the people are aware, think that reincarnation is part of their life, that they must then believe that there's only one life. And to me, this would be, unfortunately, kind of a sad situation. In point of fact, if you exist now, you always exist at some time, because in reality, everything is existing simultaneously from a higher consciousness point of view. We have, in our rational thinking, we have the concept of linear time. But in reality, we're having simultaneous incarnations. And these simultaneous incarnations are existing in the now. And truth is, we all have eternal life. If you exist now, then you'll always exist in some form or another. And that's just the fact. And the other ideas that I think were really important were the fact that if you start to learn that it's your beliefs and your definitions, your emotions, your intentions that create your outer experience, that you are creating your own life, and you need to take 100% responsibility for what you do experience. First off, it's your point of power, because if you created it, you have the power to make adjustments and to change it. But if you feel totally powerless, then you don't have that. And it also really connects with the whole idea of you taking responsibility for your own health as well. And the more you know about how the universe works, the more you know how the body works. And you can apply all the same knowledge that you learn about how things work and how important belief is and related to the body. And very simple medical idea here is in the area of the placebo, where apparently pills that have no intrinsic or real merit, or sugar pills that perform or sometimes outperform what they call the legitimate ones. And why would that be? Because you believe it. And this concept of belief, it's not just true with the placebo in medical situations. It's true in every area of your life. What you believe is. And I think that's a very, very important factor related to a spiritual journey. And the more we take responsibility for that, the less baggage we're going to have, because there's nobody else to blame. And that blame is then connected with the whole idea of victimhood. And the mindset of victimhood mentality attracts oppressors and tyrants. And if you remove victimhood mentality, then you're not attracted to the negativity. So a victimhood mentality is connected to low self-worth, self-punishment, and self-sabotage, or an inner feeling that you are not loved and lacking deservability. And as Bashar has said, deservability is at the foundation of spiritual progress, because without it, all the techniques in the world will have minimal results. And the signposts of victimhood are blame, complaint, and justification. So when you are expressing these concepts, you create yourself as a victim. And the way out is to take 100% responsibility for what you experience in life, because you know that it is your thoughts, beliefs, definitions, and emotions that create your reality. There is no one to blame. It frees you up from all that negative emotional baggage from the past. So, and fear also creates you as a victim, because if you fear something long enough, you can attract it into your experience. And that's why it's important to become involved with intentional reality creation. Because by abdicating this privilege, you allow others to create your reality for you, and that creates a tyranny. So I think this is really, an important time to take stock of that, because as the Pleiadians, through Barbara Marciniak, have said, you need to become more aware of your thoughts as frequencies on the planet rise, because it will be easier to manifest, and you don't want to be manifesting what you don't want. And that's really the key here, is that we really need to focus on what we want and not on what we don't want. And I also want to share a couple pieces of Beethoven music that are effective with respect to letting go of the past. And one of those is the Beethoven 7th Symphony 2nd Movement. And according to Bashar, this particular piece of music is of the appropriate vibration to allow you to be in the proper state to attract whatever information, healing, situation, people, or opportunities that you require. It also deals with the issues of letting go and forgiving the self and the letting go of grief and regret. And I saw a video actually today, it had to do with the concept about forgiveness and how a good way to eliminate fear is to practice forgiveness. Because forgiveness leads you into love, and love is what eliminates fear. And this Beethoven's 7th Symphony 2nd Movement, this will allow you to let go of all those things, thereby allowing you to work with your vibration, and in this way, forgiving yourself and thereby becoming more whole. And according to Bashar, these chords are exactly, precisely what will tap into the idea of your letting go of the past, sorrow, grief, regret, and the forgiving of yourself, thereby moving you toward the vibration that would attract to you whatever information is relevant, which will also allow you to be in the healthy state that is your birthright. And another one of Beethoven's symphonies is it's called Ode to Joy, which is his 9th symphony, and apparently it also has all of the codes for the ascension, and also helps to balance the chakras. So I wanted to mention that because I think it's really important information. And these, as I was thinking about the program tonight, I was thinking self-realization, creating excellent health, and also the idea of reality creation. These are three things that you really, I think really want to be involved with. And Dolores Cannon, in one of her videos today, actually mentioned that the biggest lesson that you can learn on planet Earth is to learn to manipulate energy, which is another word for doing reality creation. And you need to learn to do this if you want to graduate from here. So this is, to me, these are these three really, really important ideas and if you haven't had that planting of the seed, I think your sincerity and a certain amount of falling away of worldliness and just asking the questions of, why am I here, who am I, those types of questions will definitely at some point lead you and attract to you the experience of having that realization. And then once you have that realization that there are higher levels of consciousness, then it's something that once the seed's planted, the plant's going to grow. I might also say that with respect to your body, I really love what the Pleiadians say, that your body is a magnificent self-healing, self-repairing system. It's an organic wonder that you have yet to truly appreciate. And actually, there was a Dr. Combs, C-O-M-E-S, He was interviewed recently, and he says he's done work for the Secret Space Program, and that they've basically figured out, because they don't like the people there having downtime, you know, that being sick really isn't too cool. And they have managed to develop actually it's a protein, and it's called alpha 2 macroglobulin. And this particular protein prevents the body from getting inflammation. And according to their findings, the body is pretty much capable of healing anything if it doesn't have inflammation, an interesting concept in itself. And I might add that Bashar has always said that the human body was capable of healing 99.9% of all issues if it had the base foundation of basic health, which was pure water, oxygenation, elimination of stress, exercise, detoxing, and elimination of the meats. And in conjunction with that, the proper nutrients that could be also obtained from a product such as superfood that is sold by the American Botanical Pharmacy in California, that's Dr. Schultz's. And, of course, there are other ways to get those nutrients as well, but that's one of them. It's quite simple. I always have a jar on hand. I think they're about $38 for a huge jar last couple months. So those are just ideas that, you know, should be very useful. And as the Pleiadians say, the belief in a vital, healthy existence is one of the best beliefs to embrace. As is true with all beliefs, the bottom line is that you must believe it. And a key to vital health is the ability to sustain love for yourself and excitement for life. So there's no need to embrace any fearful labels of disease. Remember that forgiveness is a self-healing act that releases you from the lower vibrations of anger and judgment. Forgiveness permits you to move forward in the game so you can get on with the venture of living a joyful life. And you're capable of accomplishing anything when you believe in yourself. Remind yourself that you are a co-creator of the multiverse, and that life is about change, and that everything can be healed if you're willing to do the work. And I think that's really the key here, the willingness to do the work. And I know a lot of people really, they just want a magic pill. And speaking of those pills, I understand that last year in America there were 4 billion prescriptions written. 4 billion? Like, I don't know. I can't even get my head wrapped around that. You need to accept responsibility for the ability to create excellent health. And as many are discovering, cure is not the overall intent of modern medicine, because treatment involving the use of expensive poisons and medications is far more lucrative than discovering the cause and purpose of the physical and or mental imbalances. And that kind of brings me to another topic that I wanted to pursue a little bit with tonight. And that is concerning this big craze we have about technology. There's too much of an addiction to this, and it's not only my opinion, it's also the Pleiadians' opinion. They actually state that using a cell phone is like committing suicide. I mean, they're saying that this electronics, it needs to be used sparingly, and you use it out of necessity, and you try to live your life separated from it as best you can. It's going to become more intrusive, and the other thing it's doing, it's ruining the cognitive capacity of humans, especially the younger people. The younger they are, the greater the cognitive problems, and very few people want to admit this because they're so addicted to it. And the fact is that all technology lowers your frequency. Every time I go anywhere now, I even drive in the car, all I see is people texting, and they're on these, I don't know, I don't have one of those, I don't have a cell phone, so I don't know what iPads and all these things. I don't even know what that is. I don't have a television either. Wouldn't have one if you give me 10 of them. Like, not interested. Know too much about that subject. And speaking of that, I've shared this before. It was actually from Bringers of the Dawn. And the Palladians suggested strongly you get rid of your television sets. They're the primary tool used to manipulate your consciousness on a day-to-day basis. And this experiment so finely tuned that you respond subliminally to disease via the television. So there's an entire generation that's killing itself by watching television and supporting the medical society while they're doing it. And sometimes liberating information is broadcast, perhaps even a New Age show. However, you may watch such a television show about how uplifted and unlimited you can be, while subliminally you are being hit with a frequency that keeps you from original thinking. And this subliminal keeps you immobilized and holds you in a survive, arrive, be on time, be silent, go to work society. Television also promotes inactivity and a sedentary, obese life. Look around you, wake up, humans. Most of the subliminals on television are done through technology that was developed in conjunction with off-planetary beings, and the use of subliminals to upset human consciousness has become a worldwide program. If you think about the houses that have 2, 3, and 4 televisions in them, you must agree that this has been a very successful marketing program. Some people who know about the subliminals on television feel that they are immune to them. However, the effects of television are so permeating that no matter how clear you say you're going to be, you cannot counterbalance what the technology is presently doing to your vibrational frequency. As a matter of fact, if you really want to evolve, do not read your newspapers, do not listen to the radio, do not watch television. If you're able to be media-free for periods of time, then you disengage yourself from the frequency of chaos and anxiety and stress and hustle-bustle and temptations of all kinds that you don't need. You begin to get clear. You begin to listen to what's going on inside of yourself and to live in the world and not necessarily be lost in it. You become clear. We cannot emphasize this enough. Electronics also jam your frequency. Plus, as we have said, many of them are designed to create static so that you will always stay at a certain vibratory rate, tuning and turning you into safe, harmless, inactive cattle. What about a computer? Well, the second most predominant piece of hardware in the United States is the computer. How many of you go to work on computers and end up getting headaches, particularly when you work for large corporations and are hooked up to their mainframe? Large companies are into aspects of mind control. They use your minds to generate energy to achieve something for themselves. Personal computers are not as potent and powerful. And also from the Syrians, No More Secrets, No More Lies, from Patricia Corey, and she's channeling the Syrians, states that subliminal sound messages are overlaid into the audio of television commercials, imperceptible to the conscious but perceived at the subconscious level. They're also transmitted via the Internet. You are just beginning to recognize the dark potential of such technology. We call upon you to use great discretion when approaching the Internet vehicle. It's of great importance that you take the time to prepare yourself spiritually, mentally, and emotionally, and to protect your energy fields whenever you enter this technology web. You can significantly alter the vibrational fields coming from your computers and entering others by willing that your thoughts and intention is to raise the intention of all conscious travelers moving along these wires. And I think it's really, really, really pretty obvious here that this is, I even see articles in mainstream papers like the New York Times talking about the effects of cell phones and how to giving some tips on how to protect yourselves. I suggest that people on a spiritual journey, again, you use it as sparingly as possible. And everybody's situation is, of course, different. I'd like to also get into a little bit of a topic tonight concerning kind of a new theory I've had recently. And it's concerning the current situation of humanity on the planet. And I guess my theory kind of is, I had a theory a while ago, it was called time dilation, that we were kind of in a in a space where there wasn't really much happening. It was kind of like we were being kind of like held in suspended in time, probably waiting for more people to become awake and get ready for the ascension process. And one of the things that I'm coming up with in my own meditations is that we're an experiment here for sure. We have the DNA from 22 different ET civilizations, and it's pretty obvious that to me that the experiment's getting out of control. And what we're seeing from the dark side is, I think we're seeing this movement of the AI into our lives because they want to turn over control to AI. I also see from the, even from the good ETs, or supposedly good ETs, it's hard to tell sometimes, you know, who's human and who's not human and who's positive and who is not. However, there is, as Bashar has stated, seems to be a plan that he's actually supports, being as Sasani, that the first to make contact with us are supposed to be the Yell, who are like one of the hybrid races that was created originally from a mix between humans and grays, and that during the abductions that were taking place. And they finally became successful with creating hybrid races of the mix between the two. I only recently learned that on Bashar's planet, the three actually kind of like satellites are supercomputers. Epsilon, Epiphany, and Enigma are actually supercomputers. So it would appear that his world is totally run by AI. I really like what Alex Collier stated, that he said, if the grays are the hope of the world, then we're in big trouble because they'll create a tyranny here that the likes you've never seen. And I think that that's pretty much my sentiments, too. I mean, the grays have been a nuisance throughout the universe, and I also just this week found out that they actually created the those three supercomputers on Sasani. And so here we are. The grays are going to be our hope for evolution, because the idea here being that some of these hybrid kids, which I appreciate, that need to be reunited with their biological parents. That's all we know well and good, but the fact is that the whole idea here being that once more and more of this contact happens with the Yael and the hybrid children, eventually it'll be like planting a field of weeds with alfalfa. The field will eventually be all alfalfa. So the plan is for us to be the sixth hybrid race. There were five other hybrid races created by the grays. Personally, well, I'm just not in support of all that. I'm of the opinion we don't need an upgrade. You know, the problem is they're just trying to keep a lid on us evolving. And to back that up, according to Adranus, he says that we can understand that the moon is a monitoring station, and it's an observatory and a laboratory and is somewhat of an extraterrestrial private property station. It is monitoring humanity as part of the 22 different genetic program experiments that are taking place. And it is a small, it's a multi-civilization-based monitoring station. It's a satellite, it's a spacecraft, it's older than your planet. It was not originally from your solar system. It has been brought here. And further, he says that, however, what's happening in regards to the function of the moon is that it is a catalyst pertaining to your own quarantine, pertaining to certain waves, certain frequencies that are being emitted to literally create a type of restraining bolt. The technology on the dark side of the moon produces frequencies that create a veil. simply because without the moon, all of you would literally be functioning as manifestation gods. You would literally have all the capability necessary to function in that sense as instantaneous manifestors. You would literally be able to function as godlike beings. Well, I don't know, but to my way of thinking, if they created us with 12 strands of DNA and 12 chakras, did they intend to us to only function with two strands like we've been for the last, I don't know how long? And apparently it's the frequencies being emitted from the moon that have kept us in two-stranded DNA. So, I don't know. I mean, to me, I don't mind saying that I kind of wonder out there. I guess there's probably a vested interest. There certainly is a vested interest in our DNA. I think there's probably a legitimate interest in us, or at least a portion of the population ascending. And we can clearly see that that time is approaching probably sooner than some realize, because I see this direction that the majority of humanity headed toward, down this dead-end technology path, is definitely going at a rapid pace. In fact, I noticed this week that there's this city actually in China that's actually being run by AI. And AI can do a lot of good things. It's called Hangzhou, 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 China. And it's very efficient. And I'm sure there'll be lots of benefits, too, from some technology, except for the downside, as the Pleiadians would say. It takes the humans to invite it in, but after a while, they don't need you anymore, or it doesn't need you anymore. Or if it does need you, it also controls you. So, to me, interesting situation that we find ourselves in on planet Earth, where we have a situation where the plans for us are basically, as they say, to restrain us. So my advice is, stick to your guns. Have a plan for your own journey towards self-realization and increasing your vibratory rate. And I think one of the easiest ways to increase your vibratory rate is to do the pillar of light. That's a Pleiadian technique. And you can find directions for that by looking up Solara on Ra. And Solara on Ra has many good, beautiful YouTubes. They're short in nature. And she's got some new information out there as well now. And I think it's really a good thing to check this one out. And it's an upgrade for humanity. And the upgrade really has to do with intending to create a space or a planet, basically, that's based on love, cooperation, and kindness. And I think that's really, really a very positive a concept. And I really think that that ties perfectly in with this whole idea of the new Earth. And I really think that she has some amazing videos and the kind of information that's totally uplifting. It's totally creating a new positive. And I really think that the sky is the limit in that direction. I might also add that there's a number of things that, especially in the health area, that people can do that aren't very expensive that can really help. One of those things I find is bentonite clay. And bentonite clay, as I recall, last time I bought, so I buy about 10 pounds at a time. I think it was 10 pounds. It's only like, $5 or something. And bentonite clay is really cheap. And to me, it has this marvelous capacity to eliminate not only that, it provides your body with minerals. And no doubt it also contains monatomics. So bentonite clay, to me, is one of those things that, you know, I always have on hand. Another one of the things I have on hand is Powdarco tea. Powdarco tea has been known as a cancer cure for a long time. It's also helps with non-inflammatory, that type of, it has properties which kind of relate to me, like to this protein that was developed, this alpha 2 macroglobulin. Is I'm not particularly interested in taking it, I guess, for two reasons. One is it's really expensive, and second, I'm not really into taking any kind of pill. Like, I wouldn't take pills. To me, pills are right up there with immunization shots. I mean, first off, they all have nanoparticles. They're like the chemtrails. They have nanoparticles. We don't need more nanoparticles in us. And not to mention the side effects from pills, how it affects the brain, gives you water on the brain, destroys your liver. The side effects are like, I can't even believe they even publicly announced the side effects. I guess the reason they do is because you can't sue them anymore. So, you know, I mean, I don't want anything to do with the pharmaceutical industry. And I think that the Qigong Hospital over in Beijing, China, that operated for 10 years, dealt with 250,000 patients, did not do any operations at all, and used no pharmaceutical drugs. And had an 85% cure rate. And check it out on the internet. World's first medicine-less hospital, Beijing, China. Similar concepts to that you'll see with Greg Braden's YouTube video called Curing Cancer in 3 Minutes. The concept of distance healing, the concept of the Qigong itself is so far advanced from Western science, it's not even funny. I've learned over the last year to be a practitioner of the Qigong healing sounds, and the whole concept to me is just it's totally superior, and it's also something that you can do on your own. And it does, well, it did cost me for the initial course, I think it was about $280, but it's good for a lifetime. And basically, you learn to be responsible for maintaining your own excellent health and in dealing with issues as they arise. I might also add aloe vera plants are really beneficial. Apparently, that was a gift from the Pleiadians. And basically, what you do, you have your aloe vera plant. It contains monatomics. You take off a leaf and strain the juice. I suggest you mix it with honey because it tastes awful, but, man, it does good things for you. It's been said that it can cure about 90% of any stomach issues, not to mention it puts monatomics in your system. We are apparently very lacking in crystal sulfur and also in magnesium. Leafy greens would be good for the magnesium. Skatefish oil. Now, Dr. Pete Peterson came on Project Camelot one day, and he said that skatefish oil was tested just after World War II on hundreds of thousands of children. One drop on a piece of toast, and they had no cavities. It's also known to prevent heart disease. So skatefish oil, amazing product. I haven't used salt in the last decade or so. I use sea salt, Himalayan salt. It does contain monatomics, and I use it, you know, as table salt, and I use it to brush my teeth. I do not use any fluoride or the normal toothpaste and things. I use baking soda and sea salt, and baking soda and sea salt does wonders for your gums as well. I also, for the last year or so, have been doing the oil pulling with coconut oil. You just take a spoonful of coconut oil, and to me it tastes great, and you just put it underneath your tongue and keep it there for about 20 minutes. Don't swallow, and it's amazing what it sucks out of your system. And so to me, just as a daily routine, I brush with sea salt, baking soda, and do the coconut oil pulling. By the way, anybody with that you know, or if you're having issues with memory, Alzheimer's, I would highly recommend coconut oil. I'd be eating that stuff like regular. If you want to really get advanced into healing issues, I'd really look up sun gazing, as taught by Hira Ratan Manik. It's H-I-R-A Ratan, R-A-T-A-N Manik, M-A-N-E-K. I think he's the best I've heard out there. And it also would highly, highly recommend the use of crystals, especially the Andara crystal. That's A-N-D-A-R-A. Andara crystals come from monatomic fields. And I think they're just fascinating. I've had many listeners call in and thank me for suggesting that they put an Andara crystal under their pillow. You just kind of do it and see what happens. So lots of positive things. And as I mentioned earlier in the program, this getting away from the technology, that's huge. The ideal lifestyle to me is the more you can get into nature, the better. I appreciate everybody can't do that. But even if you can spend some time in nature, you know, you just do as much as you can. The Amish have the right idea. They don't take vaccines. They're not into technology. They grow their own organic food. And if you look at the Amish, their children do not have autism. Well, they don't take vaccines. They don't have heart disease and cancer like the rest of the population. I mean, they're an example of how you are supposed to function. And in my opinion, all the technology and everything else that's been going on for the last, since probably the late 60s, 70s, I mean, back in those days, 70% of the population used to be healthy. Now it's, I don't know, like 10 years ago, it was like 2% or something. I mean, we're going right down the toilet when it comes to health and quality of life. And to me, black is white, white is black. I mean, the charade that they call politics, the whole system, basically, it's just it's a joke. And the less time you can spend involved with it and the negative aspects of it, and the more time you can spend on positive thinking, using your imagination, creating positive space. And I really love that idea by the Pleiadians of creating a new earth that's based on love, cooperation, and kindness. And I think if enough of us intend that, yes, we will create it. And I'd like to, as usual, give my sincere best towards your attainment of full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance. And I'll close the program by sharing the Who Am I technique. And that's where you place your full consciousness in the center of your forehead, and you become that spot. And when you become that spot, then you ask the question, who am I? And you can do that a few times or many times or whatever feels comfortable. And then, once you become that spot, your full consciousness is there, and you are that spot, you state the following. I am not my body. I am not my internal organs. I am not my thoughts. I am not this spot. What spot?
I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of time.